Holy cow, we come to church on December 31st. We're still singing Christmas hymns. Connie's up here reading about shepherds and angels. Thought we were done with Christmas. Monday came, we unwrapped the presents, we threw away the trash, thought we were all done. But here we are, we come back around to the manger again. We spent the first 3 weeks of Advent talking about how we approach the manger, how we approach the story of the birth of Jesus. We talked that first week about we come as angels, the heralds who bring the good news. We talked the next week about we come to the manger as Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus who heard the call. God placed a call in their heart and they responded to it, even though it wasn't easy. Even though it was difficult, it was a struggle, they responded and they said, "Here I am." And then that third week we talked about that mysterious innkeeper who made room for Jesus to come into the world. Last week, because Sunday did fall on Christmas Eve, I deviated from this series and we spoke about coming home for Christmas. But I wanted to return for the next 2 weeks for several reasons. One, like I said to the kids, Christmas is not an end, it's actually a beginning. The Christmas season, if you want to be theological about it, really doesn't begin until Christmas. And so the rush we have sometimes to take down our decorations and pack the tree. I have friends, and I know this because they talk about it on social media, who put their Christmas decorations away the day after Christmas. And I just think to myself that, you know, they're horrible people. Horrible, horrible people. That's just awful. We make a date for like in February to take them down. My neighbors hate me. I'll leave my lights up for months because I like them so much. It's such a wonderful time of the year. But Christmas goes on. I was serious with the kids. The 12 days of Christmas begin with Christmas. It talks about the time between Christmas and the coming of the wise men, which happens on Epiphany, which is next Sunday. And that's when we'll talk about the Magi. They are getting closer. You notice they're not to our nativity yet, but they are on the path. You can see them over there in the far window. They've come a long ways, but the journey is not yet over. I wanted to return to the story so that we could look again at what is present in this story for us. Now, we're all familiar, of course, with the shepherds of the story, right? They're in their fields watching over their flocks when the angels appear to them, telling them, "I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." So the shepherds go into Bethlehem. They find the baby. They tell his mother what had occurred with the angels. The scripture says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So the shepherds are confronted by the heavenly host as they're sitting in the fields watching over their flocks, told the Messiah has come, and told to go find this baby. And they do so, which is amazing, that they went into a town, they were able to find a single baby lying in a manger. They're amazed by what they find, and they return glorifying and praising God, telling people what they have just seen, what they have just experienced. I've always wondered what the shepherds must have thought about all this, right? The angels appearing to them saying, "Your Messiah has come." Then they go and they find the Savior of their people as an infant, as a toddler, as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, defenseless and helpless. And then we're going to go tell people about it. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. That song is written about the shepherds who were the first witnesses. They were the ones called to witness the event and to relate it to the world, to take the story out. But what did they tell exactly? "Hey, we're saved. There's a baby. And he's just a baby." What did they know? What did they see in this small infant? To understand more of that, you have to begin to understand why this birth happened in Bethlehem. We've talked before, of course, that Joseph was from the line of David, so Bethlehem was where his family was from. He had to go back to Bethlehem for the census. But still, what made Bethlehem so important? Well, maybe it helps to know that in Bethlehem, which Bethlehem is not very far. It's about 9 miles. No, I'm sorry, it's a little bit further than that. It's about 4-day journey, 3 days. It's about 35 miles, I think, from Jerusalem. In Bethlehem, where there are nice rolling green hills, one of their main things that they were responsible for in Bethlehem is that's where the flocks for the temple were raised. So the temple back in Jerusalem, out here in this little farm town of Bethlehem, they raised the lambs for the temple sacrifices. These shepherds that the angels appeared to witness this moment, their job is to raise the lambs that are going to go to Jerusalem and be sacrificed at the temple for the atonement of sins. Here's how that worked. The lambs for temple sacrifice, they had to be firstborn male lambs. They had to be born without blemish, right? They couldn't have any injuries. They couldn't have any bruises. There were some special rules. They had to be born outside. And because you wanted to take special care of these lambs and you were outside, the rule said they had to be born outside, but the shepherds would take these firstborn male lambs that they believed would be taken for sacrifice later. They would take these lambs and they would wrap them up in bands of cloth to keep them warm and to comfort them, and they would often lay them in a manger to protect them so they wouldn't fall down and get bruised, so they wouldn't break any limbs. The shepherds would then keep an eye on them. They were raised until they were 1 year old. They had to be raised outside the entire time. And since these sheep needed to remain outside, the shepherds were also always outside. They weren't inside. They didn't bring their herds into caves. These lambs had to be kept outside, so the shepherds were out there with them. They were out there in the middle of the night when the angels find them guarding their flocks by night. When the lambs would reach 1 year old, the lambs would then be separated from the flock and taken to Jerusalem. There they would be purchased by people who needed to atone for their sins. The person would buy the lamb. They would take the 1 year old lamb to the temple. They would give it to a priest. The priest would take it in and sacrifice the lamb on the altar. They would kill it. They would cut its throat. They would let it bleed out completely. And once it was completely bled out, the priest would come back out. Now the person who bought the lamb could not go into where the altar was. Into that more holy of holies, this person could not go. So the priest would go in and do this, would go in, would cut the lamb would bleed out. The priest would come back out when it was completely bled out, and he would tell the people who had bought the lamb, who were outside praying, who were asking for forgiveness of their sins, he would come back out and he would tell them, "It is finished." That's a lot to take in. There's a lot of Jesus imagery that just popped up in that information. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, firstborn male, born in Bethlehem to save his people. The shepherds have seen this before. When they come upon this infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger, they have seen this before. They know what this is. Even though it is just a baby, just a helpless infant, they've seen this. They walk up and they are familiar with what is going on. When they see this scene, they say, "We know how this ends up." They recognized what it was. Whereas the Magi later would come to worship a king, the shepherds saw a sacrifice. They knew what this was. They knew who Jesus was. They knew what God was doing. When they looked upon the small, helpless baby in the manger, they saw God's salvation at work. And so they told the world. They went out glorifying and praising God for what they had seen, the final sacrifice for God's people, the one who would save his people, the one who would set them free. They went out and told the world what was happening 30 years before it would. God's sacrifice had come. It was finished. As we approach the manger 2,000 years later, we come as those same shepherds. We come upon the infant in the manger wrapped in the swaddling clothes, and we say, "We have seen this before. We know what this is. We have seen Jesus, God's Son, come to save his people, to set them free. This is not just a quaint story of a rustic birth. This is not just a children's tale that we tell on Christmas Eve. This is the coming of Christ the Lord, the coming of our salvation. We look into the manger and see the helpless child, and we know what this is." And just like those shepherds 2,000 years ago, it is our call to tell the world. Who else could? Who else could tell this story if not us? The TV stations and the movie companies, they would tell us it's based on a true story, but then you just know they'd have Mary riding on that donkey and we'd have to go, oh, that's not how that was. Or they'd have somebody famous playing the innkeeper. We'd go, oh, yeah, that's not how that was. Who else is going to tell this story? The beleaguered store clerks working long hours for minimum wage who we berate for being mindful of the fact that not all their customers celebrate Christmas, who are just hoping to finish a long shift so they can go be with their families for Christmas. Are we going to leave the story to them? Who else can tell the world what this is? This isn't just presents and trees and Santa and nativity sets and lights and tinsel and wreaths. It's everything. It's our salvation. It is our righteousness. It is our deliverance. Who else can tell the world that Jesus has come? We are the ones, the shepherds, who recognize what this is, that it is not just simply the birth of a small baby in a quaint setting, but that this is the coming of salvation, that with this it is finished. It is up to us to share that story. Only you can tell the world about God's grace because you have experienced it. Only you can tell the world about God's forgiveness because you have experienced it. Only you can tell the world about God's love because you have experienced it. We looked into that manger and we knew right away what we were looking at. We weren't befuddled by the situation. We weren't confused at what was going on. We knew what this was. God's atonement, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, bound for Jerusalem and the temple sacrifice. We are the ones called to be witnesses to God's plan. We are the ones, the first ones, sent out that very night to tell the world Jesus the Savior is born. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Go tell it on the mountain indeed. Over the hills and everywhere, Jesus has come. Our Messiah is born. God's salvation is at hand. It is finished.